I was looking back to the notes to try to see what sugya we were up to in Maseches Kedushin. So I realized that the last shiur that we gave about sugya's Maseches Kedushin was about Rosh Chodesh Adar. So between Purim and Pesach and a little breaks and a lot of shiur in between. So it's been a while. So let's see if we can get ourselves back to the swing of things. We left off discussing some of the intricacies of the halachas that govern Kibbutz Av'eim. So we approach a very significant sugya, potentially very, very loaded halacha l'maisa, in terms of dollars and cents, just how much is the person obligated or not obligated to spend on the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'eim. So the Gemara begins with the first Demar Mekomos in Kedushin of Amid Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara raises the question, Michelle, me, who foots the bill for Kibbutz Av'eim? So we know, I'm just going to switch this thing. Okay. We know that there's a mitzvah deraisa of Kibbutz Av'eim, and we spoke a lot about in the past that Kibbutz Av'eim requires service of the child to the parents. So for example, Ma'achilo, Mashkehu, I have to feed, I have to provide drinks, I have to, Mabisha, I have to provide clothing. Who pays the bill for these things? Does the halacha require of me to go to the store and, to put it bluntly, use my own credit card to pay? Or do I use my parents' credit card in order to provide them their food? What is the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'eim? So the Gemara says, Mishami, who pays the bill? Rav Yehuda and Mishabeim. So Rav Yehuda says that part of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'eim is that the child should, in effect, be supporting the parents, has to help out the parents financially as well. Rav Nasi Ba'oshi Amar Mishal Av. Rav Nasi Ba'oshi said, no. Kibbutz Av'eim means service. I have to do it. I have to go to the store. I have to go bring the food. But I don't have to pay for it. Omerle Rabbanim Rav Yirmiyah Va'amerle Labreid Rav Yirmiyah. So the Rabbanim told Rav Yirmiyah, some say they told the son of Rav Yirmiyah, Kimad Yom Mishal Av, that the final Pesach Halacha is Mishal Av, and that's how we pass in the Halacha, that it's the parent who actually has to pay the bill for Kibbutz Av'eim. So comes Tosis and says, that statement is not always true. As a general rule, it's true, but there may be some exceptions to that rule. So it comes to us in the second of Marmakobus and says, it would appear if the Gemara presents that this is what the Amoraim told Rav Yirmiyah and his son, that is the final halacha. That's the psach of the Shildos in the Sugyas of Kibbutz Av'eim in Pashas Yisrael. However, the Shildos adds something. Tos is quoting from the Bala Shildos from Rav Chai Gon, who adds this following. Upasak. What if the father doesn't have a credit card? Father doesn't have any funds. Father doesn't have any means to support himself. The islay lebein, and the child does have chayiv lozen aviv. So then the child is chayiv to pay to support the parents. So, but man, when do we say kibbutz av'eim is mishalav? I mean, the father's able to support. He can't support himself. He wants me to pay. I'm not mechuyev to do that. But if he doesn't have any means, then I am mechuyev. Part of my mitzvah is to support him as well. This is not just the shiltos who said this. Chaim Pasek Riv, Rabbi Chananel. The be'ein la'av moment of the father doesn't have any money. Be'ein yeshlo, the tzarech habein lefaydas mishalo. So if the shiltos and the taisus would have stopped at this point, I would have said, okay, I understand. I'm going to cobble that. You have to support mitzvah kibbutz dictates. You have to support the parents that they don't have. But then Tosas gives you a marshal. Tosas says the lo yehi ala achir. Tosas says, why should your parent be any less than a stranger? The Gemara says in the second Ksubis, there was a fellow who didn't want to give tzedakah, and Rav forced him and actually took away his money until he gave the appropriate amount of tzedakah. So Tosaf says, I have to support a stranger, and if I don't want to give tzedakah properly, they're going to take my money away. So how much more so my own parent? Of course they have to support. So what exactly did Tosus mean with that line? What was the significance of invoking that sugya Maseches Ksubis? So there are really two different ways of understanding what the nature of this halacha is. In the first hand, the starting point in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'eim is that Mishal Av, I don't have to pay, I do not have to pay my own credit card to buy lunch for my parents. However, the parent doesn't have, then I am. Why am I? What is the mechayev? What is the nature of that mechayev if and when the parent doesn't have the means? So one can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand that, that's Kibbutz Av'eim. It's Kibbutz Av'eim means, tachlis, push comes to shove, I have to make sure that food's on my parents' table. How do I do that? It depends. If the parent can pay, great. If the parent can't pay, so my chiv of Kibbutz Av'eim dictates, I have to pay. I have a chiv to eat matzah on Pesach night. How I get the matzah? If I'm lucky, someone gives it to me as a gift. And if not, I got to go buy it. Well, I can't claim, I'm sorry, I'm not going to spend money on mitzvahs. Of course you have to spend money on mitzvahs. So the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'eim is such to make sure the service is performed for the parents. If the parent can pay for it, matoiv, and if the parent can't pay for it, so it's your responsibility to pay for it.
Maybe that mina is when the parent has a Yerusha, when the money comes back with the Mechalei Yerusha to the person who's born the up, rather than the latter part that's stuck up.
Well, okay, we didn't even present two sides yet. Okay, yeah. So you're already like six makaras ahead of us in terms of the dividing up the Yerusha. We're trying to figure out who's getting dinner for today. Forget about the Yerusha. We're trying to figure out everyone's still alive and well. We should stay well for many years. But you're right. You're
that's the field between how you approach.
Okay, so that's going to be part of our discussion, how the Yerusha is going to play out. So again, so we have two sides to understand what's the nature of this.
That's why the father has that thing.
Right. Henry's viewing it as maybe he doesn't have as assets, as you know, there's already a more modern way of viewing things. He's already tied up in stocks, he can't use it. Chazal didn't talk that language, but I hear you say. So again, we're trying to understand this din. Shilta said it, Rabbi Chanan said it, the Ri said it, Bali Taisa said it, that if the father doesn't have money, you have to foot the bill. What's the nature of that din? So one can learn that's part of the mitzvah of Kibra Ve'im. Or one can say, no, that has nothing to do with Kibra Ve'im. Kibra Ve'im means Mishel Av, finished, end of discussion. Elohat. Tzedakah. Why should my father be less than a stranger? So, kavachem, if they force me to give tzedakah, how much more so they force me to give tzedakah to my own parent? So, it's hard to tell. Perhaps from the fact that Taisa felt compelled to invoke that model, that parallel sugya in Ksubis, which was not talking about supporting parents, it was talking about other people, and Taisa used that as the model for our discussion, it would appear that Taisa is going down the route of tzedakah rather than the model of kibra ve'im proper. But again, it's not 100% clear in other Rishonim what the nature of the din is. So again, everybody seems to agree to the basic principles. Namely, if the parent has money, he has to pay for the food. If he doesn't have money, I have to pay. We have now a breakdown. We're not sure. Is that b'toras tzedakah? Is that b'toras the mitzvah of kibra ve'im? Assuming that it's the mitzvah of tzedakah, why exactly does Beis Din force me? What is the nature of that halacha? That's the Gemara that appears in Maseches Tzubis, that the Beis Din pushes me. They force me to, they take away my money to give tzedakah. Based on what? What koach does Beis Din have to go ahead and come to my property and take away my property and give tzedakah? I don't want to give tzedakah. Chotosya visi peshatya. Let me speak to Rabban Shalom about it. Beis Din's goal, Beis Din's role in the Jewish community is to enforce dinei mamonos. So what right do they have to force me? So you can understand that also in one of two ways. Either you can understand that tzedakah is also a shtickle dinei mamonos. Tzedakah is not just a ritual religious obligation. It's a monetary obligation. I am a chuyuf to give X amount of money, whatever that number X is, I have to give a certain amount of money to Aniyim. And the Aniyim actually have a claim against me. Now, it's a strange kind of a claim. No one Ani has a claim because it's called Mobush Elotovim. I can give this Ani, or that Ani, or the Ani. But if I completely refuse to give tzedakah, Beis Din will come after me based on the koch of the Eila Mishpat Meshatasim Lefeim. Beis Din has the right to enforce the Mamonos. If I borrowed $1,000 and I don't want to pay, Beis Din will take my money away. If I bought the car and didn't pay for it, they'll take my money. I hired you to paint my house. I didn't pay you. They'll take my money away. If I don't give you X, Y, and Z, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Tzedakah, they're going to take my money away. So that's what the Ktos says. Ktos learns that Pshat and this halacha, the Beis Din will take your money away, which according to Tosa seems to be that I'm taking your money away to give your father Tzedakah also, is really a subcategory of the parish of Shibud of Mishpatim. One could suggest a little bit differently. One could suggest that there's no real Shibud. Mitzvah Tzedakah is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us to fulfill the mitzvah Tzedakah. It's a religious obligation. But what if I don't want to do my religious obligations? What if, let's say I tell you, I don't want to eat matzah. I don't want to put on film. I don't want to hear the shofar. So there's a rule called kofed al mitzvahs. We can't practically do that because man hazeh, but in the olden days, Beis Din had the shlita, had the authority. They could force me. They're supposed to, but so no, kofed al mitzvahs, they're supposed to force me to do the mitzvahs. The Ramban has a line where the Ramban says in the end of Baba Basra, "Achikofenos of a gufo, kofenos of a mamono." Certain kind of mitzvahs are mitzvahs of a gufo, matzah, shofar. What's Beis Din going to do? The only thing they can do is force me to eat the matzah, force me to come to shul near the shofar. But they can take my money away. How is taking my money away going to help me fulfill the mitzvah? It's not going to make me do the mitzvah. But mitzvah of a mamon, says the Ramban, Beis Din can be kofi of a mamono. You don't want to do the mitzvah? Good. We'll help you do the mitzvah. We'll take your money away from you. We'll ensure the mitzvah gets done. So according to that Ramban, I can understand that's what's going on in tzedakah as well. That the fact that the Beis Din is kaif me to give tzedakah, which by extension may mean they're going to kaif me, they're going to force me to support my parents, and the parents can't support themselves, that's mitam kaifin ala mitzvah. It's not mitam shibud nechasim. So we have a lot of dinim that everyone agrees to. We're just not sure what the reasons for any of these dinim are. We know that you have to provide kibud avim, but at the parent's expense. We know if the parent doesn't have the means, you have to help them out. We're not sure, is that mitam tzedakah or is that mitam kibud avim? We know if it's mitam tzedakah, they're forcing you to do it. Are they forcing you to be Torah, be a mominess, or forcing you to be mitam mitzvahs? Somewhat unclear.
If it's mitam tzedakah, you putter from kibud avim if the parent doesn't have the
means. Also, according to that side, if you learn like Pshat Nistosis, that's mitam tzedakah, yeah, kibud avim means, kibud avim is not a mitzvah that costs you money. Just the very nature of the mitzvah is service. If you can't do the service, because there's no means, no one gets money. Pop, I'm not in the mitzvah of kibud avim.
And now that I have to take the money out of the stuff.
That's tzedakah. That's tzedakah. That's a different chiyuv, different obligations. That's unclear from the Mishnah. The bottom line is kibud avim is mishal av. Are there any other exceptions besides this exception that Tosfos and Rishonim write? Fathers have means. So there is a sugya, very, very famous sugya, probably the most famous sugya in all of kibud avim. About a man by the name of Dom ben Sina, who happened not even to have been Jewish in the first place. So comes the Gemara, the third of the Mamma Kamis, in Kedushin Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph. Every kid, even before the Lippah said Kedushin, must have heard the story. I'm reviewing them, Shmuel. Sholos Rabbi Eliezer. And Heichan Kibra Abayim, how far do you have to go for Kibra Abayim? Omolahem, Tzu'ur Uma Osavi Kechom Echad Ovbi Ashkelon, who was a non-Jew in Ashkelon. What does the Gemara highlight? There was Ashkelon. So the Mishnah says, in the Gemara Sechiz Gittin, that Ashkelon wasn't even really part of Israel. It was really below the border. It was the border, literally the border town to the Jews and the non-Jews. And this was a goyish place, and a goy, Gomor, is nothing of it, Zara. The Dom Ben Asin Shema. Big Shema Ben HaChacham Avonim Le'efod B'Shishim Yivoschar. He happened to have had access to the jewels that Chazal needed for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Big Dekuna, for the Efod. And they were going to give him quite a hefty sum for it. The order of Machlokes was 60,000 or 80,000. Machlokes what the price was. But everyone agrees it was fairly expensive. The key to get these jewels was under his father's pillow. He refused to wake up his father. So you see from here, wow, that's a model. That's what you have to do for Kibud Avim. You got to lose a $60,000 or $80,000 shekel dina, whatever the number was. Business deal, that's what the mitzvah kibud avim requires of you. So there are two ways to read this Gemara. So, you know, we say very often, a chassid reads this Gemara and says, wow, what a slavos, what excitement, what a chizuk. Look at the non-Jew who teaches us our musar. Look at the gadlus of the mitzvah kibud avim. Has a misnagid read the Gemara? It's not right. If he did, it's wrong. He was the mechuyim. He should have woken up his father. I always tell my kids, if I'm ever sleeping, and there's an $80,000 business deal, I beg you, do me a favor, please wake me up. They wake me up for less important things. But Dominicina's father apparently wasn't interested in being woken up for whatever reason, or maybe he was a lapadas, maybe he wasn't aware of what was going on, and he wasn't able to be Michael, whatever the case may be. So Dominicina refused to wake him up, so come to Misnagdim, the Rishonim, and say, wait a second, why didn't you wake him up? Don't we paskin, the Kibud Avim is Mishalav. I don't have to lose money for Kibud Avim. Why do I have to lose 60,000 bucks in order to fulfill Kibud Avim? It's not true. So the Ran asked this question. The fourth of the Ramah comes. The Ran says at the end of the first line, "V'chitem came tikshul and hadim and le'el arech Kibud Avim tzurum ha'osam come v'ashkel etc. etc." The third line, "Ikel ameimar the chiyam rin under dafke mishalav." When do we say that there's a mitzvah of Kibud Avim and it's only from the father's pocket? Hani midu lechvodo. That's to provide food, to provide. To find clothing, to do services. I don't have to pay money for that. But Kadeshlo the Tsaro, to prevent causing your parent tsar, are you waking up a parent? That's very, very, that's painful. That's going to be distressing to him. Yeshlo the Avi Kol Mamon Sheba Olam. You have to lose everything. Every last penny you have to lose, not to be a tsar a parent. Not to be a chavid parent. You don't have to lose anything. Mishalav. Not to be a tsar. You have to lose every penny. Where did that come from? What kind of law is that? So clearly what the Ran is saying is that the Issa with Tsar, a parent, is a different Issa. That's not part of Kibud Avim. We know exactly what Kibud Avim is. Kibud Avim means to provide service. Keitza Tarabonim, Keitza Bechabdo, Machilo, Mashkeyo, Malicho, Mavisho, Manilo. The Gemara says exactly what Kibud Avim is. So where is not being Mitzah? Where does that fit into the picture? So there must be some other source for the Issa. There must be an Issa with Tsar as an Aviv. And that issa must lend itself to having to spend every last penny. So what is that issa? Where does that issa come from? So the Torah tells us that one is not permitted to hit a parent. Makya aviva. No, you're not allowed to hit anybody. And hitting anybody is a issa deraisa. But hitting a parent is a much, much more serious issa deraisa than hitting a regular stranger. it actually carries a little bit of chiyuv of Mrs. Beis Din. You cause your parent to be wounded, to bleed. That's an iser gomu with the chiyuv Mrs. Beis Maka of the imam. What's the nature of this iser Maka of the imam? Is this part of the mitzvah of kibra v'ein? Clearly not. If you don't bring lunch to your parent, you're not going to have misa. You're not a mitzvah. Clearly, Maka is almost like its own parsha. Maka of the imam is the ultimate mitzaris of it. You can't get more of a tzaris. Your mom is going to carry the bleed. But it's got a doctor now. It's got a bloody nose. It's got a broken arm. That's imcha mitzaris of it. But nichlal in the iser of Maka of the imam is almost like a chatishir. They give it a little bit of tzar. So I didn't break his bones. I didn't cause any bleeding. I didn't punch him in the nose. But I caught some kind of an other tzar. Doesn't even have to be physical tzar. It's psychological tzar. I woke him up. He's taking a good geshmaka nap. I don't know. Don't see his father saying good Shabbos nap, good Sunday nap, whatever day he was taking his nap. He was taking a good nap. And somebody woke him up. Got him upset. Again, whether he'll be cooled down a minute later when he has $60,000, or it could be he was a lover das, could be he wasn't even could be he was sinai, could be he didn't even know. We don't know. I wasn't in Ashkelon back in the days of Dominus. I can't tell you what his father's status was. But the Rana is learning pshat that there was some kind of a tsar of tsar. Tsar is a part of the parsha. It's a chatishia, I think a parsha of Mach of Vimo. Mach of Vimo is a lav in the Torah. For a lav in the Torah, you have to give up every last penny. If somebody comes to you and says, listen, I'm going to take away all your money if you're not Machal Shabbos. Someone says, I'm going to take away all your money if you don't eat trade. All your money. But the Chofetz Chaim writes in the same Chofetz Chaim, that's like the Din Furish and Sharim and Shulchan Aruch, that not to violate a lav, you have to give every last penny. To fulfill a mitzvah, you don't have to. Let's say somebody says to you, we're going to take away every single last penny from you. And the only way to save it is not to put on tefillin. So the din is, I'm not mechuyev to lose all my money just to put on tefillin. I'm actually not even mechuyev to lose more than a fifth of my money for any given mitzvah essay. However, the Rishonim are quick to point out that's not only true for asay, it's not true for los asay. To violate actively the Dvar Hashem, unless it's pikuach nefesh, there's no heter whatsoever. So it comes to Chofetz Chaim and says, speaking Lashon Hara is also a law in the Torah. So he says, what if a person has the following challenge? They say to him, we're going to take away all your money. Or the post can say, losing a job is halach equivalent to taking away your money because I don't have any more money right now. So they say to you, listen, we need you for your job to speak Lashon Hara, say something bad about the other clients, say something bad about the other, about our other other competition or something. We're demanding, otherwise don't come to work the next day. So Chofetz Chaim says, the same way they say to you, if you don't work on Saturday, don't come on Monday. What's the din? Can't come on Shabbos. If they say to you, speak Lashon Hara, lose your job, since it's time to lose your job, speak Lashon Hara, Mamash Alav Latar. Scary, puts this into perspective. Back to that story. So the Ron's first answer to the Dom Minasina challenge is, Dom Minasina wasn't keeping up with him, it was with Tsar of Aviv. Then the Ron gives another turn. Inami, Kiyam Mina Mishalav, Hani Mina Bi Ichisar and Kiss. Aval Hasam Avuri Rav Chabiyal Mahavah. The din is, says the Ron, that you're not mechuyev to suffer loss for kibud avim. We pass kibud avim b'shmishalav. However, over there, you weren't losing anything. What did I lose? Gevalt, I lost $60,000. No, you didn't. You didn't lose $60,000. You just didn't gain $60,000. That's what's called menias harevach. There's a big difference in halacha between loss and not gaining. The area of halacha where this is the most prominent distinction is hilchos chol hamoed. You know, the first Mishnah in Moed Katan says, if your field's about to be ruined, all the crops are going to die. You're allowed to water the field. You're allowed to work in the field. Why I gebalt? You're not allowed to do malach and chalamayit. Point to many, it's an issa deraisa. Dover aved is mutter. So all the Rishonim are quick to point out, based on Gemara's later on in Moed Katan, dover aved means, I'm going to lose something. I'm going to end up less than I had before. What if I'm not going to lose anything? I'm just not going to make money. That's called menias harevach. There's no hetzer and chomer for that. That's what the post can point out. Person has a job. The boss says, listen, if you don't show up in chol hamoed, you're fired. That's a dover oved. I have the job, and now I'm going to lose the job. So although the job is not a tangible item, that's called a dover oved. I'm losing something. Losing something, hilchos chol hamoed, doesn't have to be necessarily tangible. The Rush writes that, let's say a person has a certain customer, there's a non-Jewish customer, and if he doesn't deal with that customer on Chol HaMoed, so the customer's going to go find business elsewhere and never come back to you. So the Rush says, that's called a Dover Oved. I had the customer. He was in my back pocket. I've been dealing with him for 20 years. Now he's going to come. He's going to see my business is closed. He won't want to deal with me anymore. That's called a Dover Oved. However, the Rishonim say, what if the boss says to you, you're not going to be fired. It's fine. You don't want to come to Chol HaMoed. That's okay. I'm not going to pay you. You're not going to be fired. That's the Dover Oved. That's called Minyan Sarah. So I won't get paid for those days. That's okay. So the mitzvah of keeping Chol HaMoed requires of me. So I don't take a loss for Chol HaMoed, but I have to suffer. I can't even use the word suffer. I have to suffer a loss of, not a loss, but a loss of potential gain. That's called Minyan Sarevach. So that's what the Ran here says also, that Hilchas Kibra Vehim does not require you to suffer a loss. But on the other hand, I can't justify violating Kibra Vehim just to gain money in the future as well. So the bottom line is, yes, we pass Kimishalav, but we're not exactly sure how to fine-tune this. There seem to be a few exceptions floating around. One was Tosa in the Shiltas, when the parent can't support himself. One is, according to the first day in the Ran, when it's an issue of Tsar, not just a Kibbut. According to the second answer of the Ran, when it's a question not of a formal chisar and kiss, but rather simply a minyan sarev. So the Gemara continues in the fifth of the Mar Makomos, telling us another story about just how far Kibbut Avim goes. And this also sheds some light on some of the parameters, some of the perhaps limitations on who spends money for Kibbut Avim. So, Toshma, show us Rabbi Lezra, Hecha Kibbut Avim, just how far is Kibbut Avim? Omalem, Kadeshi Yitok Arniki, Viz Rakenu. Liyam, the fun of Eina Machlimo. The father has to come and take a wallet. I did not yet define whose wallet it is. A wallet, throw it into the ocean, right in front of the son. The son is fuming, angry. Man, the son doesn't say anything. Doesn't start screaming, yelling, tie his father. Lets him throw the wallet into the ocean. So the Gemara makes an assumption with his statement that whose wallet is it? Well, it obviously depends on whether you hold Mishalahav or you hold Mishalbet. If you hold that, I don't have to lose money for Kibra Vahim, then clearly whose wallet must this be? It must be the father's wallet. It can't be my wallet. If it's my wallet, I can stop him. If you hold that I have to lose money for Kibra Vahim, so I got to lose my wallet. But if you hold that I'm not mechuyav to lose a penny, pruta, for Kibra Vahim, then obviously it's the father's wallet. So wait a second. If it's the father's wallet, so what am I making for my nafkilah himine? What's the difference? Because all day he wants to throw his own wall into the ocean. Gave us a day. Why does the Gemara think I'm going to make a fuss? So now what Henry said comes back to life. Throw the ocean. Yeah, it's very nice. He's throwing out all his money. And I know the Achamei of Reshim Shana, I'm not going to have any money left because he threw all the money into the ocean. So it's bothering me. It's eating me up alive. I'm seeing my father wasting money, throwing money into the garbage. So it's a chiddush. I still can't be mitzarim. I can't stop him. Eidu machlimai.
That's not the gather of Kibbutz, that's
the
gather of Tsar.
Oh, very good, excellent. So, this is also a Tsar type of an issue, which is a little bit problematic, which actually is both ways problematic, because the Gemara uses the word Kibbutz both here and in the Ben-Benesim story. So you're right, the Lashon Kibbutz is a little bit lavdafka over here. So comes the Rambam, when he formulates this halacha, and formulates it in a very, very strange way. Ad heicher Kibbutz Avim, how far do you have to be mechaber parent? I feel not lo kil shel zehuvim shelo. He takes whose wallet? Dram doesn't say whose wallet it is. Dram doesn't say, oh, by the way, we're talking about the father's wallet, but if it's the son's wallet, then you can stop him, hold him down, tie him down. No. The Rambam sounds like it's talking about even the son's wallet. Dram doesn't specify whose wallet it is. It just says, Arniki Shaloi. It's a dangling something or other. It's a vague, I don't know, the pronoun of what? I don't know, something, whatever. Ninth grade English, whatever. It's something like that. So the Rambam sounds like the father's taking the kid's money and the kid can't protest. Why can't he protest? So comes the Kesef Mishnah and he says, So how could the Rambam just write so unclearly, even the kids are niki? Back to the Ran story, says the Kesef Mishnah, that the emes of pshat in the halacha is that your question is better than my answer. This is takanaki, brother. This is tsar avim. And when it comes to tsar avimo, there's no price tag on. Then it's the sky's the limit. It doesn't matter what it's going to cost you. So once again, coming back to haunt us again. We started off the sugya by saying, Kibra Avim, not going to cost me a penny. It's a low pashut, it's not going to cost you a penny. It's going to cost you a penny if the father doesn't, because more than a penny, if the father doesn't have any money. It's going to cost you a lot of money to prevent tsar. It's going to cost you a lot of money, so to speak, but it's not a loss, but a lack of a gain. So time and time again, we see the din of Mishal Av is not pashut. It's not an all-encompassing statement. There are exceptions to that rule, and we have to figure out what those parameters are.
In the case of throwing the money away, you can't try to convince your parents.
You could try. Yeah, if you do it in a civil way, 100%. But you can't scream, yell, and tie them down in mitzarim. You can definitely try to enter into a calm, logical conversation. However, someone who's taking money and throwing it into the ocean is probably not going to be the recipient of a calm, logical conversation. So come to Shulchan Aruch, the 8th of the Mamre Kamos, and talks about a shahad that becomes very, very relevant, potentially an expensive shahad. Shulchan Aruch quotes the following day in Siman Reish Mamalef. Haya kot tochav la'aviv. The father's got a splinter. So he wants the kid to take it out for him. Lo yotzianu. It's quoted from Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. The kid should not be the one to sit there and patchka with a needle and stick it in to get the splinter out. Why? Shebi yavol lasus b'chabura. If you could do it right and get the little piece of wood out without causing bleeding, that would be mutter. There's nothing wrong with doing that. So you're helping your father. But there's a very good chance you may end up inadvertently causing a little bit of bleeding, and that would be a maka of the emo. That's a problem. And similarly, what if you're a bloodletter in the olden days? Or rofe, or a doctor. What today? A dentist? You want to do some kind of medical, dental, some kind of, you're working in a lab, you can't draw blood, you want to do something. The father wants you to, he's begging you to do it. Lo yak is dam, lo aviv, lo yachlev. You shouldn't be the surgeon to do surgery on him. Even though you're clearly not doing it in a derogatory, in a negative, in a bad way, you're doing it with tavasa. He's asking, he's begging you to do it. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do it. Says the Ramah, but Medvar Murim, quoting from the Rishonim, based on the Gemara, and Medvar Murim, Shiesham Achel Asos. This isser of causing your parent bleeding, when the parent, not only is it not negative, he wants you to do it, you're doing it for a positive, constructive, good, positive reason. You're the doctor, you're the dentist. This is not the Issa Deraisa Makal Avimo. Makal Avimo means to punch your parent in the face. That's Makal Avimo. This is the Rabbanan Dika Issa, because it smacks a little bit, looks a little bit, sounds a little bit, smells a little bit like Makal Avimo. So Nebuch Chazal said not to do it. However, that's only if there's another option available. But in Ainsha Makal Asois, there's nobody else around. You're the only desert island with your parent. You're the only dentist. You got your equipment with you. There's no one else around. He's got a terrible, he needs you to pull, he needs you to cause him to bleed. So the din is, hareyu bakizo, you can cause them to draw blood, you can do surgery, kfi mashi or shulas, whatever the parent tells you to do, you're allowed to do. So what's pshat in this halacha? Is it asr or is it mutter? So the answer is, it's not asr min haTorah, it's asr b'drabbanan. Chazal lifted the sister drabbanan, b'she'i efshar, but it's impossible any other way. So this becomes a very, very expensive shat. The following. Very common scenario. A parent needs a certain medical dental procedure, whatever the case may be. There are loads of doctors around. There are loads of dentists around. You know what the problem is? You're the only one who's going to do it for free. Everyone else is going to charge. So is that called Efshar? Is that called E-Efshar? Not clear what the answer to that question should be. Let's assume...
There's one kid.
Wait, I'm going to get to that part. That's going to be the next part. So let's assume that I would have somebody else do it, except that I'm particularly interested in paying $10,000 for the procedure. You know, you can hear the parents' wheels turning. I put the kid through medical school, and now I got to go to another doctor to pay. Where's Yesha? So, come many poskim and say, sorry, that's called Efshar. Somebody else can do it. Shulchan Aruch says, Efshar, no one else knows how to do it. There is somebody else who knows how to do it. You have to go to somebody else. So now I'll ask you the following question. Who pays the bill? To somebody else who pays the bill, why should I pay the bill? I'm the kid. Keep it off of him. But the parent pay the bill, Michelle Love. So, Tzipis Tzifrayim quotes a fascinating concept. It's true, the possibility. But guess what? The kid has to pay the bill. You know why? The reason why there's a bill is because the child is bound by the din in Shulchan Aruch called Machav Rima. I have a halachic problem. My halachic problem is that I'm not allowed to do surgery, and I'm not allowed to draw blood from my parents. I'm not allowed to take out a tooth out of my parents. My parent is more than happy to have me do it. So why aren't I doing it? I'm not doing it because the Shulchan Aruch tells me not to. Who pays the bill for you having to observe the Shulchan Aruch? You pay your own bill for that. Isn't that Kibra Abayim? Kibra Abayim, I should go ahead and do it myself. I can't because the Shulchan Aruch told me not to. The Ram says not to. The Ram says not to. For that, someone's got to foot the bill. The other one's got to foot the bill. It's a fascinating insight.
He's penalized for being a doctor.
What?
He's penalized.
Penalized, that's right. That's right. So I have to deduct it from all the money that's making. Right. Penalized for that couple of dollars. Right. So I always ask you a fantastic question. What if it's not a monetary question? There really is nobody else. There's nobody else. There's no other doctor around town. But there's no doctor as good as this doctor. What if he's the Nebuchadnezzar and needs a very, very unique pick? He's the guy to do it. So many folks can say that's called Yev Shadei Achir, like in Uchas, Pikuach Nefesh, and Shabbos. Let's say Lamashal is the real, Shalom. Say Lamashal, person, the Chalila, Pikuach Nefesh, he's got to get to the doctor on Shabbos. There's a doctor across the street you could walk to. I'll tell you a secret. Doctor's not so good. There's a specialist. He's got to get into the car and drive. You got to get. The din is, you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos with it. Because going to a better doctor is a potential Pikuach Nefesh. Or Lamashal hospitals. This is a very common Shiloh. Person's got to go to the hospital on Shabbos. There's this great hospital across the street. It's not so great. That's a good reputation. For me to get to the real hospital, to the higher quality hospital, I got to do Chil Shabbos X, Y, and Z. Then you should be Mechal Shabbos. You're allowed to get the best quality medical care that's called Pikuach Nefesh. So the post can say there's a real true difference between the quality of care that Dr. Child's going to give versus Dr. Stranger's going to give. That's called E.F. Shalei De'achirim. It's Yashir Chol Shabbos. We let you do Chol Shabbos that. We let you do this. But sometimes you have the following situation. Objectively, for sure, there are other doctors who can do it. This is not such a complicated procedure. Any doctor can do this. Any dentist can do it. But what does the parent say? My son, he's the best doctor. He's the best dentist. Nobody knows how to take out a tooth like my oral surgeon son. Hooray, I put him through years of schooling for this. Nobody knows how to draw blood like my lab technician. No, nobody knows how to do it. Anyone knows how to do it. You have a mishigas. You think that your kid's the best. So that's a tricky question. That's cool. Unless the parent's going to get so agitated, the person's going to faint. If somebody else does it on them, they're going to collapse from the agitation of knowing that the child's not doing it. Okay, we can discuss it. So the bottom line is that you have to be very, very careful before you start doing a medical procedure on a parent. You have to think 100 times over, is it really justified to you to do it? And if it's not, and you have to pay for it for somebody else, so then you may have to foot the bill possibly.
Mechaschinuch
says that he doesn't know why any of this is true. He says, let the parent be Michael. So Pashas Advarm is that Mechila doesn't work for this. But this is more than just, this is like a Ben on the Mokum, because it's not Mechila. It's not so Pashas Mechila.
It's not so,
but according to many postgame, an Av cannot be Meichel and Tsar. It could be maybe Kippy Bach and Meichel and Bizoyon, and Pashas cannot be Meichel and Makam. The parent says to the child, curse me, go be Mechal Kalamim. You're not allowed to do that. Go be Makam. You're not allowed to do that. It's not even so partial that a person can be Meichel and the Isla Hakas as Chavera. Makas Chavera is also in the Siddur Aisa. And Yosef Lakosu Ule Makarabo. There's a Shaila that same Chassidah talks about. Can a person be Meichel? Shaila Lacham Aisa. Boxing. Two guys want to box. So boxing. I'm going to box you. I'm going to punch you in the head. I'm going to cause you to bleed. And it's a deraisa. But I'm like, the guy's Michael. That's the game. He wants it. He's getting paid $10 million to be in the ring with you. He's more than happy to get a couple of bloody noses. So I'm Michael on the money. So most of the Echorim say, you can be Michael. You're not a Michael. You're not a body. You're not a body with your own body. Hashem Nefashis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's in charge of your body. You can't be Michael. What if you want to be chavilin yourself? I'm not allowed to take a needle and just poke myself for no reason. That's called chovah bi'atmos, and he said, there I said, it has to be l'tzorech. So if matach, I can't do it to myself, how can I be moich for somebody else to do it to me? If it's for medical tzorech, that's a different story. But if it's just time for mishagas to make yourself bleed, that's also the Torah.
Are you allowed to volunteer for the army?
I'm gonna pose a question back to you. What army are we talking about? Under what?
Let's say you're talking the IDF, and it's not a time of milchama. Are you allowed to volunteer and putting yourself in a position of possible danger?
It's a mitzvah rabbah for a person to protect Klal Yisrael. So it's a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah. So unfortunately, the reason why we still have to have an army is because it's always a potential time of war. So it may not be Baruch Hashem. Maybe it's quiet to this moment in time. But Halavai, when we'll be Zaychet, Yemosu Mashiach, Yisra Goy Cherev, so then we'll be able to, Kuliyama will agree that we'll disband all the armies. All the world's armies will disband at that point. That's exactly what the Vuimosu Mashiach. Until we reach that point, so we have to be on our toes. And then anyone who's participating in protecting Klaisel is doing a tremendous mitzvah.
Your answer on Kibud Aveim, with Mechila, is consistent with the way I think it's this, the Bechinuch defines. You know, he defines Kibud Aveim in the Aseres HaDibros transition as the transition between the the mitzvahs ben adam lamakom ben adam lechavero, and he says it's a pain, form of paying back, paying forward what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us.
Right, right, excellent. Right, it's actually on that. In the Sefer Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch has the lamdus shaila. Is it governed by the rules of ben lamakom ben adam lechavero? Just one quick story, just to put things into the proper perspective in terms of just what you do. I don't have to. I couldn't give this as a mar makom because it's a story. It's a story about Reb Chaim, a famous, famous story about Reb Chaim Brisker. That somebody came to Reb Chaim and he said, you know, I got a telegram from Warsaw, whatever my parent is, that they want me to visit them, but I can't go. I said, why can't you go? He said, the train from Bristol, it's very, very expensive. I said, I can't afford that. He said that I want my parent to pay for it. And the parent says, they're not paying for it. So he said to Reb Chaim, I'm not looking to go, right? Because you have to roll, keep rather than show up. Not going to pay the 100 rubles to whatever, to pay for the train ticket. So Chaim said, no, of course you're going to keep rather than walk. It's for free to walk. He said, Ella, why do you want to take the train? Because you don't want to walk in the cold from Brisk to Warsaw. That's because you're worried about your feet. You're worried about your cold. For you, you want to pay. If you're worried about your own cold, pay the 100 rubles to make yourself more comfortable. Go take the train. I don't know how comfortable the trains were, but definitely more comfortable than walking. So the bottom line is, Reb Chaim was saying a deep word. He's saying that you have to be careful before you hide behind, I'm not spending any money. I'm not spending any money on my own personal comfort or on the Kibra Veim Shabbat. So Kibra Veim doesn't cost you money, but your own personal comfort to make that mitzvah a little bit easier on you, that taka does. That's because you have to foot the bill for that as well. Okay.
Good night.
Hey, good night. Good night.
He throws his kids to the Yam. Isn't that defining him as a shote?